Contrary to the cliché, genuinely nice people most often finish first or very near it. This is The Thought for Today with Dr. Herbert L. Byerly here at the University of Healing in Campo, California, and bringing you this cliché. Contrary to the cliché, genuinely nice people most often finish first or very near it. That's a phrase that Malcolm Forbes had been quoted from saying. And he is a man of his word. He's a researcher. He knows what he's talking about. And when he makes a statement like this, you can be sure that it's true. Genuinely nice people most often finish first or very near it. Now, what is that all about? You see, we've been given a lot of ideas and a lot of clichés and a lot of homilies and a lot of old wives' tales and things like that, that have said things to us like the eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and other beautiful things like that, you know. And they say the good die young, you know, and good people never succeed. You got to have a little bit of a rascal in you to succeed. And he comes along and he says, that's not true. Contrary to the cliche, genuinely nice people most often finish first or very near it. You see, this is what they do. Really nice people win. Now, why do we say that? Well, we say that for any number of reasons. One of the reasons is, and let's just take it for the simplicity that it is, one of the reasons is our personal mental attitude about ourselves. If we had to do something sleazy to accomplish a good in our life, we always know it. We always know it. I bought my wife her first wedding ring, her first engagement ring, rather her engagement ring. it was her first one too. And I bought her her engagement, well, no. The first one was out of a Cracker Jack box. And that's all I had to give her at the moment. I said, keep this till I get you something better. And then I bought her a nice diamond. Now, if I had stolen the money from my mother to buy the diamond for her, I would never feel good about it. If I had bamboozled somebody out of something to get it, or if I'd robbed a bank or a jewelry store to get the ring for her, I would never be happy with myself. I would always have that that's a stolen thing, and she is stolen, and that she is only going to be temporary because everything I have done with her has been, you know, based on a bad a thing I'm not proud of. So genuinely nice people don't do things like that. Really, think about it. Think about it. Think about it seriously. Let's go back into history and go back in the days before jewelry, the days before early Sumerian times and so forth. And when a man wanted a woman, he'd say, come. And she'd say, fine. She'd pick up her belongings and go with him. If a woman didn't want a man, she'd get behind her father and say, make him pay. And so if the man really wanted the woman, he'd have to come up with five sheep or oxen or whatever to get the woman, you know. But in real love, when the man said, come, the woman says, yeah, man, you know. And then she'd say, Dad, everything that's mine, I'm taking. And he says, that's fine, sweetheart. You know? So she took all of her things, and that later became called a dowry. And the dowry was then enlarged to what Papa helped to give to the marriage to start it. It's like the Greek wedding, remember? Mm-hmm. In the Greek wedding, what was the gift that Papa gave them as they had pronounced themselves man and wife and went to the reception?
A house.
Not only a house. It was a house, but it was a house right next door to his. He's going to keep his daughter close at hand because that was his precious little girl. But you see, the father was genuinely nice. He wanted everything for his children and everything good. And he didn't cheat anybody. He was an honest man in every way, shape, and form, and the community could not fault him on anything except his enthusiasm, which seemed at times to be a little much for sort of a Midwest, that was an Eastern, for an Eastern style of living. But he was genuinely nice. Now, he really was genuinely nice, and what happened to him? He went right to the top, even though he had these faults of being so intensive, you know. But he was genuinely nice. And what about his daughter and son? Both of them were good kids, and kids is the right word for them, because he never let them grow up. And the boy was at least 24 or 5, maybe almost 30, and he hadn't been married, hadn't gotten married yet, and he was still pulling pranks that the teenagers would pull, you know. Mm. And so you can't fault them, because they had never been released from that childhood likeness, you know. And they were nice people. And once you understood, and like even the father, he comes up afterwards and good one. That's not nice. You should not do that. Good one, son. And you see, it was nice, but yet there was a little bit of duality in there. And that little bit of duality has a tendency to destroy the goodness of it all. Because you think that it just wasn't really too cool, some of the things the kid did. And he made a fool out of the groom. But the groom was too nice a guy. I mean, there you really have a nice guy. He was too nice a guy to be touched by it. He realized, hey, that's just the kid. And the kid's almost the same age as he is. But that's just a kid who was never left off his father's belt, you know. And so he hadn't gone out and realized that those sort of things are for kids to do, and adults don't do those things. But nice people, they finish first. Nice people always come through beautifully. Now, you look at the story about Kate and Leopold. And the young man in Kate and Leopold, neither Kate nor Leopold, who was very much in love with Kate, but he was so naive and so sincere and so nice. I mean, there was not a bad bone in his body. Mm-hmm. There was not, neither in Kate or Leopold's or Kate's younger brother, who was a klutzy kid. But he was a good guy, you know. Mm-hmm. He was a good guy, but he was klutzy, you know. And klutzy mainly because he wasn't going out and getting a job like he should have, as we observed him doing. But yet, he was a great guy. He had such a sincerity and a beauty about him, you couldn't help but really admire him, you know. And he was not the main character of the story. He was just sort of a side branch. But Leopold was without a doubt an absolute perfect expression of a gentleman and of a duke. He was just really a fabulous guy. And yet he did dumb things, you know. He had no respect for women because he had no interest. He hadn't fallen in love. And so they were always trying to line him up with women. Now, you thought that he was a mean guy. You thought he had disrespect for women. He didn't have disrespect. He just didn't have love for one. And when he found Kate, then nothing else mattered. The whole room full of girls who were eagerly waiting to marry him, they saw him take Kate, and they knew, that's it. That's all she wrote. There's nothing more we could do. And but genuinely nice, genuinely beautiful. Now, I'm telling you stories from movies and things like that, because, well, let's move off from that. Let's go to Gregor. Gregor is a genuinely nice person. He is a crazy guy, but he's genuinely nice. Now, he's like Leopold. And, or let's see, how do we say it? He's like Camelot.
Lancelot.
Sir Lancelot in Camelot. Now, Sir Lancelot was an idealist. He was a purist. He was innocent, and he was magnificent, just like Gregor. But then he wakes up occasionally. But he doesn't stay awake long. He slips right back into his innocence. He slips right back in, because then he has some new directions for his thinking in his innocence. But we have a few attitudes or opinions on that, so we won't go into that right now. But Gregor is like Sir Lancelot, just so pure and so beautiful. And yet, I'm sure if Gregor were to say, no, I'm not so pure and so beautiful, I did this or I did that, you know, we'd say, that's nothing. That's nothing. You make a big thing out of nothing. He says, well, it's something to me because I don't do that, you know. You see, nice people are beautiful. Now, everywhere Greg goes, the world opens up for him. People give him their home, their life, their dogs, their pets, their children, and he is just taken into their home and their arms with an openness and a love. Now, Stefan is another one like that. Stefan goes around and talks to people, and people just instantly fall in love with him. They instantly think that he's the most wonderful, intelligent person on the face of the earth. Now, he can be a pain in the neck, but he's also a very wonderful person. Now, when is he a pain in the neck? When he thinks he's wonderful. You see, whenever we think we're good, we're a pain in the neck. When we have the humility to say, well, thank you, and continue being it. You see, if we spend so much of our time being wonderful, being nice, you know, being a gentle, magnificent person like we are, we don't have time to take compliments. We don't have time to act snooty about it, you know, and say, huh, I'm better than you are. But when we are sincere with no judgment, with that innocence about us. Oh, wow, how great that is. Katerina's another one like that. She goes around continually doing it. Now, Ingeborg's another one like that. What does Ingeborg do? Everywhere Ingeborg goes, she is so much herself, and she is so much thinking of the good in herself and the good in the community, that sometimes she gets a little overwhelming for people, and they say, just a minute, you know, hold it. But it's not because of her desire to do this. It's only sometimes because of the overenthusiasm. Now, you too, Sylvia. You too. You go out, and people instantly fall in love with you, and they say, oh, what a beautiful lady. Oh, she's so intelligent. Oh, she's so wonderful. Oh, she does this so well. Oh, she does that so well. She is so great. Oh, you must be very wealthy. Oh, you must have so many lovers. You must, you know, and Sylvie says, where? But the point is, this is how a nice person acts. But when you ask where, then you're saying it's a farce. Never ask where. It's a matter for you to open your eyes and see where. Because when you open your eyes, you'll see that you're surrounded by beautiful people. You're surrounded by beautiful circumstances. You're surrounded by everything lovely and everything good. And you want to put that cause in motion so that you experience it. But you see, like with Greg, he doesn't recognize how fantastic he is. And Sylvia, she doesn't recognize how fantastic she is. And Ingeborg, the day you recognize how fantastic it is, I think the Mount Krakatoa will Krakatoa again, you know? Because it's so wonderful when you wake up to this. And Ellen, we can never say enough about her. Ellen is just like a baby, you know? And it's always sucking on her toe, you know? Always content, always happy. And and everybody in her world wants to love her, wants to do nice things for her. They want to bless her. They want to make her life richer and fuller and happier. Everybody wants to do anything she asks of them to do. Now, I asked Stefan to go down and take care of certain things with the county, and I asked him to go down and take care of this and to go take care of that, and Stefan didn't get around to it. But we had Ellen go down and take care of it, and Ellen just felt very comfortable with it. She went in there and she fell in love with the people. And the people started calling her by the first name and saying, oh, you don't have to do that. Well, just here, stamp. It's done, remember? On so many of the forms. On so many of the forms where we had our tax exemption for our property, which is what We have not the right, I don't like to say the right, but this is part of the program of having a church. You have tax-exempt property. And so she would just go down there, and there was no question about it in her mind. And so it went right through. Other people, they have questions about it. And then they say, well, now, is this all being done this way? Is this being done this way? Is this being done? Well, Ellen is so naive and so pure. When she goes down and talks to these people, she says, that's what it is. We have all these miles, and when people come out and meditate on the meditation trail, and they leave cancer behind and other things, you know, and they just have a fantastic experience, and the people are just sort of wound up in the beautiful experience of what Ellen tells them. They want to come up to campus. And when they come up to campus, what do they find here? Just what she said. Just what she said, because they come up here and they just are enthralled, infatuated with the vibrations. Sylvia did a wedding for a young couple, and they came up and they counseled here on campus with her. And when they left, they said, can we come back? We feel so good here, so at peace, and a bunch of other things, you know. They just felt wonderful. And Sylvia says, well, I don't know. No, she says, you're very welcome. We performed your wedding, so you're now part of our family. And you ever get unmarried, and you're still part of the family. But you see, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. And of course, you never talk about getting unmarried, especially when you're performing a wedding. But genuinely nice people finish first, or very near it. And we are genuinely nice people here. And we are surrounded by
harmonious beings.
Genuinely nice people.
Oh, genuinely.
Thank you very much.
Genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to come up with certain responses because, I mean, if you're going to come up with that, then we're going to have to give another talk about what that all means. So, okay. So, this is where we stand. This is where we are in our life. We want to be consistent and follow through. Now, Dorothea has just asked for a bunch of statements from us, and so we have fixed up self-discipline, self-dedication, self-diligence, self-determination, one-pointedness, untouchability, unpossessed, and non-judgmental for her. So she can have those up above her computer that Sylvia is going to help her install today. And then as she listens to the lectures from here on the computer, from our Thought for Today and our Instant Inspiration and other talks that we have on there, she'll be able to look at those statements and think unconditional love. That I didn't do. Unconditional love, unconditional love, unconditional love. And so that's pretty terrific. Yes, genuinely nice people finish first. Dorothea is a genuinely nice person. Gertrude is a genuinely nice person. And all these people are genuinely nice persons, like Mark and Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg and Button and Little Love, Faith and Paul and Leslie, Marie, Howard, Raymond. Oh. Jumped over there. Diego Germany, and then Stefan, Gertrude, Herbert Marty, Irene Merkley, Christina Nussbaum, oh, Anita Lope, Heinz Ertley, Monica Egli, Rosalie and Alvin, Katrina Suter, John Dainty, Julio de Amorin in Brazil, Carol Oliver in Guyana, and Teddy Forbes in the Bahamas, and Karen Hussein in Germany, and of course these are all over the world, and Andrew Akins in
Ghana
and Sibyl Agaba in Nigeria, Aline Cote in Canada, Dolores Cheeks in Canada, Shift Dad in New York, Davis in New Jersey, Chesney in New Jersey, Heiliger in Queens, I think it is, and Evelyn Johns over there in New York, Pearl Bryant, Florida, Roland Edwards, New York in Florida, and Rhonda Joyce in Las Vegas, Nevada, Ingrid Chance in
New Jersey.
Husband.
And Vincent.
No.
Ingeborg and...
Ingrid and...
Ingrid, yeah.
Vibert.
Vibert, that's it. I wanted to write that down. V-I-B-E-R-T. And Vibert Chance, two super people. There's lots of others, too. Greg and Edith Mary and lots more. But this is just how we get going on these beautiful people. And these are genuinely nice people. And you will be hearing a lot about them in the years to come as their memoirs are written and as their movies are produced and, and as their life takes on a brand new story for everyone. So, my friends, contrary to the cliche, genuinely nice people most often finish first or very near it. And my world is filled with genuinely nice people. I love you, I love you, I love you.